Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
All right, so this is the third week in a series called Generation Now. And we've been talking about how different generations have different fads, different styles of music, different ways of thinking, different thoughts about fanny packs. And we've also been talking about how we have the responsibility to help the next generation know Jesus, be passionate in their pursuit of him, and ultimately carry the torch for future generations in the church. I don't know about you, but in this lifetime, I want to be a part of a revolution. I want to see thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. I want to see lives changed and people come to know Jesus. I want to see people receive freedom from their past and healing from their brokenness. I want to see God's truth have more of a pull on our lives than the lies that the world is telling us. I want to see life where there once was death, and I want to see joy overtaking depression and fear. Oh, that the world would have a good reputation in this world again. That Jesus Christ would be more than a curse word or a name said recklessly when you stub your toe. That people would flock to the Savior for redemption, seeking his truth and his best for their lives. Let's pray. Jesus, give us a hunger today and a thirst for you. Give us a hunger and a thirst for you, O God. Make us a generation that lives for you and nothing else. Amen. Amen. So, about 2 months ago, I started running. I've been going for it. Like, I've been super committed to it. Like, I've been doing diets all throughout my life and different kind of exercise things, and I've just, you know, kind of fizzled off. But for 2 months, I've been really committed to it. So much so, I've been doing 4 miles a day for 4 days a week. Okay, let's just do the math. That's 16 miles a week, okay? I just got to give myself credit because that's awesome for me. And so I'm determined to get in shape and get healthy again, but I'll tell you what, it is the hardest thing to drag myself out of bed when my joints and my muscles are just aching because of the workouts I've done the days before, and everything in my whole being and existence is saying, no, you should just sleep today. You deserve a break. You've done enough this week. And so each morning I get up and I put on my workout clothes and I get my little purple fanny pack and I put my phone in it because I don't like the little arm things. I think they're uncomfortable. So I put my phone with my app running on it inside my fanny pack. And I put my shoes on and I pin my hair back, and sometimes I got to put my hat on, you know, keep the hair back, and I go for it. But lately, I actually been packing something else in my fanny pack. It comes in handy. Very practical. I've been packing a sweat rag because I'm just going to be gut level honest with you today. I sweat. And I'm telling you, it is not a girly, glowing kind of sweat either. It's not that light perspiration or like a delicate glisten. No. It's more like I just got out of a swimming pool and I am drenched. And I am so soaking wet. Like, it's that salty, like, dripping in your eyes. And so, like, it's stinging your eyes so you can't see. And so, like, as you're running along and it's like, you know, and you use your hands to kind of, like, wipe it away. But your fingers are dripping wet, too. And so, like, you're using your sleeves like this, but your sleeves are soaking wet, too. And you're like, wait a minute. Like, why am I so wet? Like, what's wrong with me? There's got to be something wrong. Maybe there's something medically wrong with me. I don't understand. Like, I don't remember drinking this much water. Where is it coming from? And for many of you guys know me and my journey over the past few years, you know that I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yeah. Yep. In 2014, I was diagnosed, and I went through the surgery and chemo, and I'm proud to say, I'm going to take this fanny pack off. Hold on a second. It's cute, but it's more practical than cute. Here we go. All right. Over the past few years, in 2014, I was diagnosed, went through surgery and chemo, and I'm proud to say that God has brought me through. I am cancer-free today. Yeah. But part of the protocol for cancer survivors is that you have to go in for checkups after your treatment is done, especially during the first 5 years after your treatments. They want to keep a really close eye on you. And so last week, I had my two-year checkup. And it was, I'm telling you this story for a reason, because I got a really unusual blood test result last week. You go in and they draw blood and then you sit down with the doctor and they usually talk to you about your results. And so the doctor said this, your salt is low. And I laughed. I was like, oh no. Because here, number one, I'm a pastor and we're starting a new church. And I'm like, I can't lose my saltiness. The doctor said, have you been drinking a lot of water lately? And I was like, a ton, yes, because I've been running and sweating so much, you know, that whole thing. And so the doctor said this, and this cracked me up. Well, you don't have to worry about it. It's not really that big a deal. Just for lunch, go to a Chinese restaurant and you should be fine. When do you go to a doctor and he prescribes you to eat Chinese food? Yeah. So what does all this have to do with generations in the church? Today I want to have a family talk with you. I want to talk to the church. No matter what generation that you hail from, if you are a Christ follower, this message today is for you. Let's go to the Word. Matthew 5, 13 through 16 says this. You are the salt of the world. A town built on a, or I'm sorry, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. That's harsh. That's Jesus talking, though. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. As Christ followers, listen to this. We are to be salt and light. A solution to win this generation that sees no value in following Christ, no value in being part of a functioning body of believers, has everything to do. The solution has everything to do with being salt and light. I don't know if you've heard the statistics that 59% of kids that grow up in the church don't stay in the church. 59% of kids that grow up in an environment going to church don't stay in the church. I hope that's not the case for our church. I hope we break that statistic. I think we will. But that's a lot. They just don't see a need for it. And this breaks my heart, and I'm wondering, what are we doing wrong? There's been a lot of talk about millennials lately. This is the generation, I kind of looked it up. It's not like nobody really knows for sure like where the age kind of is, but they kind of have hinted that it's like if you were born between like 1985 to the year 2000, putting you like in the age range of like 17 to like 32 years old, that you might be a millennial. And I watched a YouTube video where they were interviewing millennials about their generation's reasoning for not going to church. They said some interesting things, and I think that we as a church should perk up and we should listen to them. This is what millennials are saying. Church is boring. Church people are fake. They're just going to tell you that you're not good enough. Church is intimidating. Church people are hypocritical. Church is all about showmanship. If I want to learn something, I'll just watch a TED Talk or I'll YouTube it. I want something tailor-made, and there's no church that's exclusive for my generation. Church isn't known for fighting for women's rights or helping the poor. Church is racist and homophobic. We want to be mentored, not preached at. Church is not talking about the controversial issues. Church is failing to adapt. No one's listening to us. We want to feel valued. The church is focused on goals rather than relationships. The church is focused on branding and presentation rather than love and action. Some of these statements, no matter what generation you're from, probably they resonate with some of us. Some are like, yes, fight the establishment. And others, maybe you feel completely different. Some of these statements have struck a chord with you of defensiveness. And you're like, no, I love my church and I like the way things are. And anybody that disapproves has issues. But let's just boil this down. Because remember, I'm talking to the church today. I'm talking to Christ followers. First, I want to talk to older generations. And I'm in this category. Older generations that are currently holding the torch of leadership. We need to listen to the younger generations. We need to hear what they're saying. We need to take their words to heart, even if we don't understand them or don't agree with them. We need to stop blaming them for not getting it. We are responsible to pass the light from our torch and to pass it well. And the reason that we're losing respect is because we've lost our saltiness. And we've watered down our faith to where it's no longer good for anything except to maybe be thrown out and just trampled on. Basically, we're good at talking the talk, right? But we ain't so good about walking the walk. We give impressions with no intentions. We say, oh yeah, I go to that church. But in reality, we show up once a month. We say, oh yeah, I tithe. Unless you look at how much you actually gave at the end of the year, and it's like, what? Oh yeah, I read my Bible. I haven't cracked it open in months. Impressions with no intentions. And the generation that's coming up behind us, they're no fools. Nope. They see us for who we really are. And I'll tell you what, frankly, they're not impressed. I don't blame them. Secondly, I want to talk to the young person that has this long list of criticisms of the church. If you're a follower of Jesus, then instead of asking the question, how the church can make the experience more attractive for you, instead of making excuses before you get 100% on board with the church, I want you to realize that you are already a part of the church. You're already a part of this. Somebody passed the torch to you at one point when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. A little light went bing, and you had a torch. Somebody passed that to you. And then maybe the reason you feel so strongly is that you have a holy discontent that God is calling you to do something and to act on. Rise up. Don't be a spectator. Be a participator. We've been having a Nexus core team meetings for the launch of our New Start Church that it'll be we're planning for our Sunday mornings to launch in the end of November. And so our core team has been getting together, and we've been talking and praying and talking about vision and what we can do. And a good pastor friend of mine gave me this really great analogy, and I keep using it at our Nexus core team meetings and pounding it into our heads because I think it's fantastic. It's the difference between being a thermometer and being a thermostat. Now, a thermometer, when you think about a thermometer, it does one function, and it does one function really well. It tells you what the temperature is in the room. Is it hot or is it cold? And for us, it's easy for us to be just like a thermometer, right? We can sit back and we can judge and we can say, yeah, that over there, that's hot. That's cold. That's good. That's bad. That's my preference. That's not my preference. And it's easy to be a thermometer, isn't it? I think we can all be thermometers. But the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat, now a thermostat has a different function. It changes the temperature in a room. And I think that that's exactly what Jesus was talking about saltiness, when he was talking about being a light on a hill, that we should not hide our faith, that we need to go in and we need to, young people, we need to come in with all this passion and this excitement and this energy that you have, because the older generation, they're getting tired. They've been doing it for a long time and they're stuck in their ways. So come in and change the atmosphere, young generation. What does God have to say about this? What does he mean for his people comprised of so many different generations to be salt and light? I think it's as simple as this. Don't check out. Realize your part in this is to be really salty. Super potent, flavorful in your pursuit of God. I don't know about you, but I love salt. Okay, so if I'm going to prepare a meal and it doesn't have enough flavor in it, I'm just not going to eat it. Actually, I'm going to spit it out of my mouth, you know. And if there's like a whole meal that's there and it's not very, and I don't have any salt to put in it, it's like it just kind of gets avoided. I like flavorful food. The world likes flavorful Christians as well. And you don't want the world to spit the church out of their mouth. We want them to choose Jesus and see Jesus in us. We need to be filled with Jesus and super flavorful in our pursuit of God. You shouldn't be quiet about your faith. Your faith needs to be like a light, more than a light, more than a city on a hill. It needs to be like a laser light show, okay? Like, right? Okay, let's go even a step further. Have you guys ever seen those big, like, huge spotlights that they put out whenever there's a huge event going on outside and, like, for miles away you can see, like, the bat signal in the sky doing this? You're like, I want to go there. I want to see what's going on. Let's drive. That's the way our faith needs to be. Like a laser light show for the whole world to see. And no matter how old you are, there's somebody that can benefit from your salt and your light. We should have grandparents teaching classes to young parents, right? But for some reason, grandparents are checking out. We should have young parents mentoring 20-somethings. We should have 20-somethings leading small groups of teenagers. And we should have teens that are boldly teaching in children's church. We should have children serving in the priest going, come on, let's do this, church. Let's get busy about mentoring. Let's get busy about passing the torch. I love this. Acts 2:17 says this. Woo, get ready for it. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. All people, I will pour out my spirit. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Woo! God's not saying that the oldest alive are going to have all the influence and all the opportunity, and they're going to have to do all the work. No. And the opposite isn't true either. God's not saying that once you get to a certain age that you can spiritually retire and the kingdom work is done. No. He's saying that young and old will prophesy, see vision, and dream dreams. I love this because God has a plan for us. We are not dead yet, so he is not done with us yet. Woo! I think about that every day I go up and downstairs. And today, actually, I'm wearing high-heel shoes for that very purpose because there was a moment when I was going through chemotherapy that I had neuropathy in my feet so bad that I could barely go up and down the stairs. So, like, high-heel shoes were completely out of the question. I am wearing high-heel shoes today. I love it. God's not done with me. We're not dead yet. He's not finished with us yet. But in order to be salty, we're going to have to get real. Come on, church. We're going to have to grow. We're going to have to become better. We can't just accept Jesus as our Savior and that's it. Boom, done, drop the mic. No, we have to be filled with a fresh word from God daily in order to pour it out. That's right, pour it out. Pouring God in so that we can pour it out to the next generation. But we hoard all these good things and these thoughts and these truths about Jesus for ourselves. I'll tell you what, this is done through mentorships. There's no doubt about it. Everybody should be mentored, no matter how old you are. Find somebody that can pour into you. And then everybody should be a mentor to somebody. All throughout Scripture are examples about mentorships. I found this and I love this so much. The older and the experienced generations always busy passing along their opportunity and passing along their knowledge and passing along their experience. Check this out. I'm going to put this on the screen. This is how mentorship happened in the Bible. This is so great. Jethro mentored Moses. Moses mentored Joshua and the elders of Israel. And Joshua mentored the other remaining leaders of his army. Eli mentored Samuel, Samuel mentored Saul, and David Nathan, the prophet, also mentored David. David got a lot of mentoring. He had several people pouring into him. That's why he was so awesome. And David became Israel's greatest king. David mentored his army commanders and government officials to establish the United Nation of Israel. David also mentored Solomon. Do you guys see a little trend going on? People are being mentored, and they're not stopping there. They're mentoring somebody else. This is going on and on. The flame, the torch is being passed. Solomon mentored the Queen of Sheba, who returned to her people with his wisdom in the form of proverbs that applied God's laws. Then Elijah mentored Elisha. Elisha mentored King Joash and others. And then Daniel mentored Nebuchadnezzar. Don't you love it that I can pronounce Nebuchadnezzar, who humbled himself before God. Mordecai mentored Esther. Esther mentored King, I can also pronounce this one, Artaxerxes, which led to the liberation of God's people. Priscilla and Aquila mentored Apollos, and this resulted in a much improved ministry for Apollos. Wouldn't you love it that if somebody poured into you and muchly improved your ministry? Woo! And finally, Jesus mentored the 12 apostles who established the Christian church. The apostles mentored hundreds of other leaders, including one of my personal favorite, Paul. And Paul mentored Titus, Timothy, and many others. And then Timothy mentored faithful men, such as Epaphras and other faithful men mentored others also, which led to a chain reaction that resulted in dozens of new churches in Asia. Ultimately, this mentoring chain is the beginning point of our churches today. Woo! Man, if that doesn't get you excited... And I would hate for all of that to have happened, and then the next chapter of history is, and then the church died. Because people just got complacent in the church. It's time for the church to get salty again. It's time for us to be light shiners again. I think one of the key things that we need to get over in order to be able to do this effectively, though, is that we can't be selfish. That's just the thing that gets in my way a lot of times. It gets in way a lot in the church because just by nature as human beings, that's what we are. We're selfish. I didn't understand this when I was young and first in ministry. I actually was in junior high when I was first in the worship band at my church growing up. And just to give you a little bit of an idea, back when I was first getting involved in the worship band, we had never had a worship band before. We had, and this was kind of across the board in all churches at this time. I'm really showing my age right now. Okay, so usually it was somebody with a hymnal, and they were just one person up there directing the congregation in a music in a hymn, right? So this whole concept, man, I sound like an old person. Back in my day, when we used to open up hymnals and we would lead worship like this, you know, oh man, man. We used to go to school. It would be like 10 miles, and we'd walk the whole way barefoot in the snow, uphill both ways. Yeah. Okay. So I'm old. But here's the deal: we cannot be selfish. And for me, I was in this worship band that we had a new associate come to our church, and his wife could play guitar, and she wrote songs, and she was an incredible musician. So she started introducing us to worship choruses and the fact that we would have instruments in church and leading worship that way. And so we put together this little band that actually did teen camp for the summer, and then that band became our band for every Sunday morning. And me as a seventh grader was one of the singers in this band, and oh my goodness, I loved it. I loved it. Like, I was right in my element. I felt really important. I loved singing and being on stage. I loved playing that role. I loved the people, the little group of musicians that became my friends, my besties. And I didn't understand that one day when I got a phone call from the worship leader, that after a year of singing in this worship band, mind you, I'm in seventh grade, after a year of singing in this worship band, that they were going to be making some changes, and they were going to be dividing into two worship bands. They were going to rotate every other Sunday. And I was getting put on the team with a bunch of new people. And I wasn't going to be with who I thought were really strong, and I thought that I was getting rejected. And I bawled and I cried. My whole world was falling apart. And my mom actually had to call the worship leader to call me and explain what was actually going on because I was in such a bad way. And the worship leader said this, "Stacy, listen, let me show you what we're doing. We're actually trying to make more opportunity for more people to be involved in worship. And the only way we can do that is by dividing and having more opportunities. And I just want you to know, Stacy, you've been doing this for a whole year, and you've gotten really good at it. And actually, the reason why we put you on this team is because we believe in you to be a strength on that team with a bunch of new people. Now, it's going to be hard. You're going to have to train them. You're going to have to show them the ropes. But we believe in you, and you can pass the torch to them." And in hearing that as a seventh grader, it really helped. It really encouraged me. But in reality, I was doing this work of the Lord for me. I liked it when it suited me. I had become comfortable and proud of my position and my little group of people around me. I didn't quite have the maturity to understand what the work of God is all about and what it was going to require from me to pass the torch, even as a junior higher. I love leadership. We've been in several different churches and all different kinds of ministry positions, and all along the way, we've watched videos and done leadership training. How do we pass the torch, and how do we pass it well? How do we lead people to rise up and to become more and to be salty and to be light? And I love this. There's this 5-step leadership process that I think everybody can use. You can use this 5-step guide to help you no matter where you're at, whether you're running the sound back there or you're teaching in kids' church or you're in hospitality or you're a leader of a small group or you're a worship leader. No matter where you are in your faith with God, this is a great principle. So we're going to put this on the screen too. This is how it goes. 5 steps. It goes like this. Number one, I do it. Okay. Number two, I do it. You watch me. Number three, now you do it. I'm with you, but I'm going to watch you do it. Number four, now you do it on your own. Number five, and lastly, you do it. Somebody else is going to be with you now, and you're teaching them how to do it. Oh, I love this. Imagine if we applied this in the church, we would have a revolution. The world would stand up and they would take notice and say, what's going on there? There is something that is real. There is something that I can have ownership in. There's something really salty and really bright about that. I want that. They're not torch hoarders. I think this gets rid of this totally false idea that passing the flame of your torch means that your light somehow goes out. Older generations, do you ever feel that way? Just a little bit of, I don't want to pass my torch because I'm not done yet. Like, I still feel young. Like, you hit 20 years old, and you're like, mentally, I'm always 20. Like, come on. My body's falling apart, but I'm 20. So I don't want to pass my torch and give it away. Like, I barely just got it. You know? But this doesn't mean, I don't think that's what Jesus is saying at all. That passing the torch and shining your light means that your light goes out. Actually, it is quite the opposite. It is quite the opposite. This is a no sitting on the sidelines, twiddling your thumbs business. No. I felt this way, and you probably, maybe at one point or another, have felt this way in the church too, where you're kind of over here and you're looking over there and you're going, that ministry over there, that looks really fun. Man, that's cool. I got skills. I could do that. Hey, ministry leader over there. Hey, look at me. I can do that. Put me in. Put me in, coach. Put me in. Come on. It's my turn. Come on. Have you ever felt this way? I have. And you're screaming, put me in, coach. I want to do it. And then some of you guys are kind of going, well, you know, I either just came to faith in the Lord recently, and I'm of an older generation, and now they're asking me to pass the torch. But nobody has ever really effectively passed the torch and mentored me. So I don't know what I have to offer. I haven't been effectively mentored, so how can I mentor someone else? I'm telling you guys, it doesn't take much. When you have faith in Jesus Christ, you have a little flame. You have something to offer. I want to tell you guys a story about a guy named Brad. This guy named Brad Parody. Okay, so we were young and first in ministry in Decatur, at Decatur First Church of the Nazarene. And the thing about the Nazarene church is that whenever a lead pastor, a senior pastor, leaves the church to go take another church, the way that they're structured is that all that the staff, the children's pastor, the youth pastor, anybody that's on staff under that lead pastor's leadership has to resign. And it's basically, it's actually kind of a neat thing. You know, sometimes it causes issues and problems and a lot of turmoil, but at the same time, it clears the slate so that the next pastor who comes in can pick his staff and then they can move forward. So we were a part of the church there that was going through a transition just like this. We didn't have a youth pastor. And we didn't know when we were going to get a youth pastor. And there was this guy named Brad Parody. And I'm going to tell you about Brad. Brad was about as raw could be. Brand new Christian, not super discipled, but passionate for Jesus because he got radically saved. Salty, already very salty. His light was shining. And Lewis and I were in our early 20s and just first married. And Brad was just a few years older than us, had kids and a wife. And Brad was asked to lead the youth group. And Lewis and I are going, Brad? They asked Brad to lead the youth group. Like, do they even know? Like, I don't know if you can trust Brad with children. And so we kind of watched a little bit as he was leading the youth group. I think one night he actually had a toga party with the youth group. We're like, I don't know what's happening. We went, we listened to Brad preach, and Lewis and I are scratching our heads going, is that even biblical? Like, I know he has a really good heart, but I'm not sure if he's got the story completely. Okay, but a good thing is happening here, and this is okay. Now listen, Brad did it. And I'll tell you what, Brad didn't stay the youth pastor there at that church. He just filled it for a time. But Brad didn't stop there. He didn't stop growing and getting mentored. He went to Bible school, and he had professors pour into him. He kept doing ministry as a volunteer until one day, a few years later, he actually took a church of his own as a senior pastor. He took a church and is growing and thriving. Right now, we watch him. He does vlogs. And when he speaks on his vlogs, he has got such authority and so much power when he preaches, and he knows the Bible now. He's very salty. I love that. You can do this too. No matter where you're at, you can do this too. Somebody has poured into you something, and you can pour it out to someone else who's desperate. And I don't know about you, but we can't get enough mentors. We can't get enough. There are so many people who are going, put me in, coach, put me in. You're a gatekeeper. Whether you know it or not, you're a gatekeeper for somebody else to be able to realize their potential in Christ. We need to stop watering down our faith so that we're not salty anymore. If you stand for nothing, you will fall for everything. So get in your word and get mentored and grow. Don't stop. Don't retire. Because the world desperately needs us to be about the real thing. This is what I want you guys to do. I want you to stand to your feet, just everybody in this room. Let's all just stand together. Some of you in this room, you are maybe of the younger generation. And you know you need some mentoring. You're just starting to walk with Jesus. Things are just starting to make sense to you. And you're seeing opportunity all around you. Your whole life is ahead of you. And you need somebody to pour into you. What I want you guys to do today as we end this service is I don't want this just to be another good little message that you listen to. I think it's time that the church starts being the church. That the church starts getting active and really putting some feet to the message that Jesus gave us. That we represent Jesus and represent him accurately and well. So young people, I want you to be thinking and I want you to be praying, like hardcore pray. I want this more than anything. I want a mentor, Lord. Bring a mentor to me. And for those of you guys who maybe are a little bit older and you're going, well, I don't really fit into that category of being a young person where all the opportunity is being given to them, but I don't feel like my life is over and I want opportunity too. I want to level up. It's time for me to be salt and light too because I've been kind of complacent in my faith or I'm new to the faith, but you're older and you're like, hey, I want to be mentored as well. This is not an age thing. This is not a generation thing. This is a church thing. Family of God. So if you're older generation and you want to be mentored, I hope that's all of us. I hope we have 80-year-olds that want to be mentored. It's going to be harder the older you get to find somebody that can pour into you. But God can even use young people to mentor older people. And for those of you guys who are discipled and have been in the church for a long time, you hold positions, you've been doing a ministry for 3 years, and you've not trained anybody to come up alongside you and to take that and to do that and to run with that. You have the capability to start something, pass it on. Start something, pass it on. Pass the torch, pass the torch. It doesn't mean that your torch light is going out. It just means that it's burning brighter and it's becoming more effective and more important. And people are saying, I want some of that. She gives it away. I want some of that. I'll tell you what, if you turn around and you look at all those empty seats behind you, if we start doing this and passing it on, those seats will be filled and we'll have 2 and 3 services every Sunday. I want you guys to just bow your heads and pray with me. Jesus, we're the generation now, all of us, young, old, new to the faith, very discipled, not very discipled, all of us that are experienced in ministry, brand new to this thing, all of us. We are the generation now. We are your church, God. And we want to get salty. We've received the light of your salvation, God, and the opportunity to share it with our world. And we want to stop hoarding it for ourselves. We want to be real. We want to be effective as Christ followers. We hate it that we've come across fake and self-serving and the world cannot distinguish the difference between us and them. Set us apart. Fan the flame you once put in our hearts. Help us to better represent you, God. Get us back on track. Set us up to be mentored, God, and then show us how we can mentor someone else. We want to get busy about your work and get 100% in the game. Put us in, coach! We want to be used for you. Lord, some of us are desperately seeking to be mentored today. Help us this week to find a group of people or a ministry to join or a person that can pour into us to shape us for the future that you have for us. And God, some of us are realizing that we've been dormant in our faith and we've been stingy. We need to pass along all this knowledge and this experience that you've given us, and we need to mentor somebody. Help us be salt and light in this world, a world that desperately needs to know you, oh God. May we not lose another second in complacency. Let us not lose another second making excuses for why we're not involved in what you are doing. Make us unified, all generations that are here today. Make us unified. Encourage us. Empower us. Equip us, oh God. Equip us, oh God, so that we can pass the torch and pass it well for the generations to come. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.